Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Harsha Engineers International Limited Q1 FY27 Analyst and Investor Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Rangwala, CEO of the company. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rangwala.
Thank you. Dear friends, welcome to all for our Q1 FY27 post-result update call. As per the normal practice, our CFO, Mr. Maulik Jasani, will take you at length through our key numbers. However, I'm assuming that most of you would have had a chance to go through the same. At the outset, I'm happy to inform that our Q1 FY27 performance has remained largely satisfactory, in line with management plan and expectation, except for some minor aberrations, which I will talk about shortly. As you would have seen, on a consolidated basis, we have posted a 25% growth in Q1 on year-over-year basis. This growth is largely due to a consistent, strong top-line growth on around 21% posted by our India engineering business, which comprises of company HEIL and our wholly-owned subsidiary company, Harsha Advani. It is also noteworthy to mention that in spite of the historically established fact that our last quarter performance is generally the strongest, in Q1, our India engineering business, we have posted a strong 6% growth even on quarter-over-quarter basis. At the same time, you would have seen that while there is an EBITDA and PAT growth in our India engineering business in Q1 on YOY basis, there is some degrowth in margin on quarter-over-quarter basis. This is attributable to three specific factors. Firstly, in Q1 of this year, our average raw material costs have gone up by around 8%. As you are aware, we follow a pass-through mechanism with most of our customers. However, there will be a lag of one or two quarters. Thus, we should be able to pass through this cost increase in the subsequent quarters. Another factor which has impacted the margin of India engineering business is a foreign exchange loss of around 4 crore, which is due to certain technical accounting reasons. To update, as per Ind AS provisions, foreign currency fluctuations relating to FX cash flow hedges are parked in other comprehensive income till they are realized and settled. The FX losses of around 4 crore is due to this accounting effect of realization of cash flow hedges loss in the current quarter. However, going forward, we do not expect the same to have a material adverse impact on the company. Third specific reason is also an increase in our indirect material costs like oil, chemical, packing material due to inflationary pressure. As you're aware, a war broke out during first quarter, and we all saw that. So this has increased our cost in Q1 by approximately 3 crore. However, the most significant impact is the raw material cost increase pending pass-through, as explained above, which will be normalized going forward. Now, talking about our specific growth components, I'm happy to state that our primary product, which is cages, we are continuing to see good demand traction and offtake, both in India and outside India. In India, this is driven by a good demand for cages from our customer, whose offtake has increased matching with their own growth plans. This includes cages demand, cage demand for facilities recently set up by our MNC customers in India. Over and above this, we are also seeing a good traction from other major Indian bearing players. We believe this reflects a continued strong growth in the Indian domestic market, aided by good industrial demand as well as demand from automobile sector. A part of this also is attributable to increased global demand witnessed by our key bearing customers. We are also seeing a strong traction in export from India. Our export from India in quarter one FY27 stood at 139 crores. We have reported almost 22% growth on YOY basis and 11% growth on quarter over quarter basis. We are also seeing a good growth in Europe, US and all other key markets, backed by continued increase in industrial demand in geographies. Now talking of our key growth driver, first and foremost, you know, sales of bushing in quarter one stood at around 34 crores, reflecting almost 35% growth year over year basis. We have a strong, you know, visibility on this order at hand and have a good pipeline. So fairly confident of achieving a targeted sales growth of bushing around 30% this year against last year's 127 crore. Equally encouraging is the stamping sales, which stood at around 19 crore in quarter one and it's showing year-over-year basis about 31% growth, and we have quite a few products which are either developed or under development, specifically in the category of white goods, things like AC compressor components and so on, as well as railway seal inserts and other stamping, automotive stamping products, which we have been developing over the past few months, which gives us confidence that we should achieve about 30% growth this year as well, and the same thing against the sales of about 60 crore we achieved last year, 5.6. We are also witnessing a strong demand uptake in the segment of large size cages. So quarter one sales appear to be lower at around 10 crore. We believe that order book on hand and pipeline in this segment, basis of this, we should achieve a good 50% growth in spite of first quarter numbers and current financial year. Last year, we did about 49 crore. Talking of Japanese customer, our quarter one FY27 sales stood at around 21 crore, showing about 25% year-over-year growth. However, the full year basis, we expect only a modest 10% growth in sales of 72 crore in this segment. Given the fact that entire process of development and conversion is quite slow, but it is reassuringly positive. In 1 second. Talking of our wholly owned subsidiary, Harsha Advantek, although quarter one sales at around 30 crore appears to show only a modest growth of 7% on QOQ basis, we have a good visibility of sales increase progressively coming through every quarter, and your annual sales target in Advantek could be in the region of about 140 crore plus this year against 43 crore achieved last year in FY 2026. As the scale of operations go up, we expect Advantek to be PAT positive by the end of current financial year, FY 2027. It has reported a loss of about 4 crore in first quarter FY 2026. As you might be aware, we have already announced the CapEx plan in Advantek for the second phase of expansion, which is for basically expanding the capabilities in machines as well as stampings and large size tools. Now turning to our foreign subsidiaries. First, talking about Harsha China, things are looking quite stable and satisfactory. We believe that Harsha China should report an overall growth of around 10% in current financial year as against the sales of about 120 crore achieved in FY 2026, with an EBITDA margin in the range of about 12%-14% and a decent PAT range of around 6%. We have already commenced the implementation of a brownfield expansion project in China after securing required debt funding at a very attractive rate. This expansion is focused on creating capabilities for our steel cages as to expand the product portfolio as well as market reach in China. This project should be commissioned by quarter three of next financial year, and we should see a full impact from FY 2029 onwards. Lastly, talking about our aberration, which I hinted earlier, Harsha Romania continues to be negative territory, though it has reported a slight growth in top line. However, quarter one FY 2027, there was a one-time foreign exchange loss of around 2 crore because of the adverse currency movement between the local currency and euro. Still, the operating losses continue, but we are putting strong effort in improving the product mix by pushing more cages, trying to get new customer orders, and also reducing the cost. We have also made a strategic change in the top management by bringing in CEO for our facility. While our endeavor will be to try and see that Harsha Romania achieves breakeven, we still feel there could be some losses in the current financial year. However, the combined loss between the two foreign subsidiaries should reduce to much lower single-digit figure, if not become fully positive. I will end my presentation with a reaffirmation that we are confident of continuing to grow strongly in India in the range of high teens and also achieving a consolidated sales growth of low to medium teens, and we expect the bottom line to grow more strongly because of the combined impact of all the positive factors we have noted above. I would like to thank you for your continued confidence and support in Harsha, and I think I'll ask Maulik to take us through his presentation and the numbers before we take some questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Vishal bhai. Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. For the quarter ended June 26, our engineering business at consolidated level has achieved a top line of rupees 421 crore against rupees 382 crore in the immediate previous quarter and 349 crore in the same quarter last year. We have achieved consolidated EBITDA for engineering business of 69.8 crore in the current quarter against 77 crore in the immediately previous quarter and 65.3 crore in the last year same quarter. We have witnessed a good demand across all revenue segments, while EBITDA margin having the impact on account of the material rate pass-through as well as exchange rate impact as discussed. In solar business, we have achieved revenue of 36 36.3 crore and positive EBITDA of 2.82 crore for the current quarter. Overall working capital cycle at consolidated level is around 116 days against 130 days in the previous quarter. The company has incurred a capex of rupees 37 crore in quarter 1 at consolidated level. For the quarter 1 FY27, our revenue from bushing was around 34 crore, stamping 19 crore, LSB 10 crore, and Japanese customers 21 crore as already discussed. With this brief on the financial numbers, I request operator to take the Q&A from the participants one by one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Varun Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on a very strong growth numbers. So just on this, sir, I wanted to understand how this growth came, like which segments performed so well, where did we see a broad-based demand recovery in Europe, or was it India? How did such great numbers come?
Yeah, so it was more broad-based, as I mentioned earlier. We see industrial demand overall strengthening, and as well as European demand also recovering. So combination of both those, and actually the growth we are seeing across. So it is very encouraging in that sense.
Okay, sir. And for FY27, what kind of overall growth rate do we see? Will 20% be possible with this momentum?
We are, I think 20% is a very tough stretch. We definitely expect mid to high teen numbers in India, and then low teens for FY27 overall is our general expectation.
Okay, sir. And year-on-year gross margins have fallen by 150 bps. So this RM increase is happening in which material? Like, is it in steel, brass, polyamide, or is it mostly overheads?
So the raw material for specifically last quarter, it happened across material we use: brass, copper, zinc, steel, as well as polymer. So we are seeing that impact visible across all the materials.
But last year, the major focus was on the higher metal prices on the brass front, which is combination of copper and zinc. But yeah, this year starting, we have witnessed that across the board, maybe part of the impact of the global conditions and scenarios. But we should be through as we are.
Got it. And sir, on the foreign front, we grew this quarter also, but still the margins for the EBITDA margins for the foreign business fell from 1.5% to 0.3% year on year, even though we grew revenues 20%. So why is the operating leverage not coming, and are we able to move from casting to cage, especially in Romania?
So we are working to do that. Increasing in more additional cage sale revenue. At the same time, there was a big impact of raw material prices continuing to increase and actually negating some of the improving situation on the revenue side.
As Vishal mentioned in the initial speech, there is an impact in Romania on the exchange rate fluctuations between the Romanian local currency RON versus the borrowings we did in euro. It's more of an accounting impact, considering that majority operation in Romania is also backed by euro.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thanks, Varun.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you and congratulations for the good set of numbers. First question, sir, again a follow-up on Romania. So you said probably collectively the two subsidiaries will have lower losses. So what kind of loss we are building in for Romania? That is one. Second, you said there was a Forex impact also this quarter. So even keeping aside the Forex, how was the performance there in terms of volumes? Are we able to move with our objective from moving from semi-finished to the large cages? Are we really on track to improve the subsidiary or it remains still the status quo?
So on the overall operation, if we ignore the Forex, I think we did not significantly improve. We did have a little bit of improvement. Again, I mentioned in the earlier answer, we also saw an adverse effect of increasing copper prices, and that had some impact on the result. And on, moving towards more cages, we are getting, so we are working towards it. Right now, we don't have a significant numbers to show for it. However, we are seeing a pipeline in Romania improving towards cages. So that's what it means.
And we have said that the lower single digit, maybe 2-3-4 crore, 4 inch may, combined losses could be there as against 10 crores we did last year.
Okay, but is it like the China will improve further and Romania will deteriorate further, is it? Or what's the...
Both will. So both will improve.
Yeah.
That means Romania's losses run rate will reduce. China is continuously profitable. So offset... Let us see. We have to wait for a couple of quarters. If things improve much better, we may say that they will turn into positive, but it's bitterly. Wait for one, maybe two quarters, and we should be able to give you a much better picture.
Yeah. And now, sir, on the other businesses like bushing, stamp, components, you talked about 30%+ growth. So is it the wallet share, new customer, and will this momentum is something which should continue? You have done a capex in the past in bushings and stamp components also. So just wanted to have a color whether this is something which will continue at this rate, and is it the wallet share increase, new business? Yeah, that would help.
Yeah. So on the bushing side, it's a conversion which is supporting the growth, and we are not sure how long this will continue, but we expect at least a couple of years for this conversion effect to continue. Part of it always will be wallet share as well. And then on the stamping side, we are adding a lot of new products, which is one of the reasons we are seeing growth there. And we have a very strong pipeline of new products coming in or have started, but will be matured over next 1 year or so.
Right. And lastly, on the large cages, which the revenue was about 10 crores and kind of flattish, still we are talking about 30% growth. And I recollect we have been focusing to have a very strong growth from the large cages in the past as well. So just wanted to understand, is it a particular customer where are there has been a delays in offtake? What is the reason for Q1 coming so low and still you're confident of 30%? So what is happening in the large cages business?
So in the large size, Q1 was aberration, partially driven by the large size capacity at our new facility still struggling. Still struggling to ramp up and respond to the demand. We see that demand is there, and that's why the optimism in spite of tough numbers for first quarter, that we are fairly confident of even 30% plus. I think that is what.
There is a good visibility. We have a nice order book pipeline that we can see. That's why.
In the large cages, right?
Yeah, of course.
And sir, in the large cages, I understand it's a value-add business also, and we are at probably not a very high base. So is it that we're trying to add more customers in the large cages or trying to leverage as we probably were trying in Romania also earlier with the same customer? So what exactly can drive your large cage business in the upcoming quarters?
Primarily, we are trying to grab a bigger wallet share where we do have a very low wallet share when it comes to larger size cages with our customer. And we are trying to grab more of that. That is what in principle is happening. And I think that's the driver and feel makes us feel confident that we can see really see achieve that.
Understood, sir. Thanks and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have only one question. So could you share update on how ongoing brownfield CapEx is in China and recently announced HEG phase two CapEx is progressing? And what would be our CapEx guidance for FY27 and FY28?
On the China front, our phase two CapEx, we already mentioned in our presentation, it is on the track, and we expect it to go live in the next year, Q3 around. And that's where we are on the track, and building construction has already been coming, and it's ongoing. While on our boiler plant expansion, in the current seasons, we have just hold the building construction, but we expect it to start in this month. And that is also on the track. And we expect our third building construction also to be completed by end of this year or maybe the last quarter of this year. And we will also start, we have already started procuring the incremental machineries orders for the new building sites also.
Civil construction is on hold because of heavy rain. Because Ahmedabad, Gujarat witnessed very, very heavy rain where it's difficult to do construction, but I think now things are normalizing, should start very soon.
Sure, sir. And what would be your guidance for FY27 and FY28?
We will keep on adding the further guidelines. As of now, our focus is to complete these two major expansions, but we at least expect in the range of 50 to 80 crores as a year-over-year CapEx, but we will give a better guidelines in the coming part.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question. I will get back in with you.
Yeah. Thanks, Vaibhav.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinkwise Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Congratulations on very good set of numbers, sir. Sir, on the guidance of for India engineering, where we are referring to high teens growth, so just would like to know how much would be driven by volume growth and price increase. And related question as to what kind of price increase we have taken or will take due to this commodity increase. That was the first question. Second question, within India engineering business, if we were to exclude the bushing, stamping, and large cages and Japanese based customer, so the conventional cages business would can it still grow double digit, or probably the number what I calculated shows that it's probably 6-7% growth only. So if you can also give that perspective. So there was a lot of echo in the call, so I could not get the Japanese based customer revenue for the current quarter and the comparative quarter, if you can clarify on that as well. And I'll come back on the couple of more questions. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so Manish, first is let me respond to the last question. The Japanese customer in the current quarter was 21 crore. Again, in the last year same quarter, 16.5 crore.
Okay.
Okay. On your question about the raw material pass through and the impact of that raw material on our top line. Usually, as we know, we have a pass through with around 4 months delay. And here I will say, as we discussed in the call, the last year was major pass-through happened in the brass while steel was a range bound. Some impact there. And as we have mentioned in our commentary, 6 to 8 days as well, this quarter raw material price increase. So maybe around 40 to 50% would be the impact on the sales price of that. Okay.
Okay. So that is basically 3-4% roughly we can expect price increase. So, so the guidance of high teens growth is factoring this price increase as well. That is what I wanted to clarify.
It accounts for it in a little bit way, but not. We are actually trying to focus on a volume growth.
Yeah.
And right now we are not trying to predict the value impact, but there could be some impact of that as you rightly mentioned because of this.
Okay. And on the cages growth, sir, probably the traditional business what we have, how should we look at the growth for that piece of the business?
So we see that cage growth in India to continue to sustain on a variety of factors. Those factors include, our natural growth of Indian economy as well as, outsourcing opportunities we are seeing for supply from India to other countries and so on. Plus, I talked about our customers are already setting up, plant to export outside India. So all those factors combined, we are expecting good growth in cage business in India as well.
I think it should match the growth of the bearing industry in India. Plus, whatever extra we take on the outsourcing. So, but at least 10% and thereabouts or even more actually.
Okay. Okay. And sir, what is the CAPEX plan for FY27 entire year, sir?
The current year FY27, we already announced in the last investor call. Our major expansion is coming into the Baila, and we expect, and also in China phase 2. Put together, we expect both the major expansion and our regular CAPEX would be in the range of around 180 to 200.
2 years.
In over two, 1.5 years, yeah. 1.5 to 2 years.
Sorry, 180 to 200 crores over 2 years.
This year and next year. So maybe around 50 to 80 this year, remaining next year.
Sure, sir. Sir, in the annual report, we have mentioned about basically that we continue to strengthen capabilities in areas such as wind energy, gearbox, specialized railway applications, aerospace, and electric mobility solutions. So maybe if you can bit elaborate and provide us perspective, what are we referring to on this? And second point also within annual report, that we see very strong long-term growth by stronger strategic collaborations and carefully evaluating inorganic growth opportunities. So maybe if you can just provide us perspective as to in what context we are seeing this.
Let me start with, you know, your first point about, you know, wind, rail, and
aerospace.
Yeah.
And yes, of course.
Yeah. So within wind, we are approaching it with a multiple perspective. One, we are present in bushing, and we are working to. I think there is a lot of typing noise. Is it possible to kind of mute that?
Sir, there is a lot of echo from your side. Very difficult to hear you, sir.
Yes, looks like some challenges at our end today.
I will mute myself, sir.
Sure. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. So I was talking about, you know, on the wind side, we are working on bushing and actually next step of bushing. Within bushing, we are trying to move to a different set of technology and working with our closely with our customer on variety of upgrades to that. Also on the kit side, we are getting ready to cater to that segment and whatever it pertains in terms of size capability, in terms of geometrical dimensional capability, we are working towards that. So that's what is happening in wind. Similarly, on the rail side, we are, you know, working with our primarily either bearing companies or directly few other companies where we are supplying stamping components for the rail industry. In addition to the cages, where also we are working develop more products which can cater to the railway market. So those are the things going on in wind and rail. Similarly, in aerospace defense, we are doing a lot of stamping components which cater to that industry. And we are working with, you know, tier one, tier two defense companies in India for those product development. So they are in a very developmental stage where we are, you know, taking those, and it's a portfolio. So once they start, they could bring in a decent set of revenue. Jumping to the inorganic topic you had requested, or what you had you looked at in our annual report, basically we are looking at any opportunity which comes our way which can really enhance our capability while remaining in that specific space of precision engineering. And we are looking at those as an opportunity if something comes across, but that's not really a mandate. That's not something we are saying that we will go towards that. If right opportunity comes by, we may evaluate and look at it, and that's what we are trying to say.
Sure. And one more thing was mentioned about EV related products on the, I think on mobility, we are trying to service that through stamping, sir?
Through a little bit of stamping, but also a whole lot through bearing cables, working with our customers on improving the performance of bearing, whatever can be contributed through cages in terms of clean product, dirt-free product, or high-performance product, and so on.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Uttam Purohit from VVD Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the great set of numbers. My question is on the Advantech side. So if you could just share what kind of EBITDA margins Advantech did this quarter and what kind of, because we are planning to close Advantech on PAT positive, what would be the EBITDA figure for the whole year for Advantech?
Logically, Advantech will be little lower EBITDA than our blended EBITDA for India business in this year, considering it is in the ramp-up phase. But we expect it to match our India EBITDA margin from next year onwards. Currently, the last quarter, obviously because of the major impact we already discussed on the material pathway and other, it has a 9% EBITDA.
Great. And if I look at our standalone engineering business, it did quite well even after all the pressures from metals and everything. So if you could just say, like, I think it did a margin of around 24%. So if you, looking at the price hikes we are going to do, can we look at a better margin going forward?
I think that 24 is a little high number, and we have shared over past also that because of the lead cycle, you know, some quarters it may appear to be higher and some quarter it may appear to be too low. And that's what is going on. In general, we expect the margin in the range of 20-22%.
Yeah, as a normal sustainable.
Yeah, normal sustainable.
Great. Thank you. That's all my time.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Varun Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So coming to the solar EPC business, so, sir, why is there so much volatility? So, yeah, like year on year, the business is up 120%, but quarter on quarter, it is down 65%. So, 36 CR. So, what is the FY27 outlook of revenue and margins? And what is the, like, nature of this business quarter on quarter?
Yeah, so, solar is a very project-based business with the fourth quarter. Usually, it's linked to the benefit, financial benefit, and so on. So, depreciation benefit. So, we tend to see a very high fourth quarter, and usually post that, first quarter is lower. Having said that, you know, we did have a pretty decent first quarter relative to last year. And on the revenue side, you know, again, we are looking at or 200 odd crore revenue in this segment. And depending on opportunity develops, it can change a little bit. And a margin sustenance on similar about, I believe,
7-8% EBITDA.
EBITDA, yeah. So that's the general idea. The solar EPC, and it's again a EPC business. What we do there is primarily build a solar installation or solar projects, and as I mentioned, it's a very project-driven business. We don't manufacture anything; we design and install those solar plants.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the China bit, so China plant was earlier stated to start by FY28, right? And now if we are planning Q3 FY28, so then the revenue will really flow in from FY29. So FY28 also China growth will be very low, right? And what was the China revenue growth, revenue and EBITDA, and Romania EBITDA, revenue and EBITDA for this quarter?
I think we continue to remain given the consolidated number for subsidiaries as of now, and we already given the total losses for that. Okay.
And sir, on the capex part, like, was it earlier FY28 and now it was delayed? Like,
FY28 quarter 3.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. You're losing your audio. Can you repeat the answer once again?
Yeah, sorry. Our intention when we mentioned commissioning of FY28 is about operationalizing of our new site, our new building. So revenue starting from that period.
Okay. And sir, on the Japan-based customer, I think this quarter we have seen high growth from 16 to close to 21. So then why are we guiding just 10% for FY27? So do we see a downtick in the upcoming quarters and why so?
Question of downtick, if you see last year from Japan-based customers we did about 72 crores. We believe that the same run rate can continue. It will go up to in the range of about 80 crores or thereabouts. There's no down. See, Japan, they are very slow. Lot of orders, I mean, lot of projects are under discussion. But we really don't want to, because all other three fronts are growing very aggressively. Japan is a laggard in terms of growth, but it is still a growth and it will continue to be positive.
Okay, sir. Got it. And sir, for Harsha, can you give us some sense of what is the pecking order in terms of your customers like SKF, Schaeffler, Timken, NBC? Who are the largest? Who are lower? And what is the customer concentration like top 5, top 10? And this is only for the India standalone business, of course.
India standalone. Okay.
So I think for us, all these names you mentioned are our top customer. They have a significant share of business, which is mainly Timken, Schaeffler, SKF, NBC, ZF, Slender. So these are our major customer, including I forgot to mention the compressor component customer Hailey and few others. So we are supplying to this customer from India, since you asked about India, to multiple of their facilities. And even though you can say that my top 10 customer remain almost 80% of our revenue.
Spread over more than 80 plants. But it's spread over more than 80 plants worldwide.
Yeah.
And Varun, actually in India, I would say, not being very modest, we have almost 80-90% wallet share with almost all major customers.
Yes, sir. I know. I've kind of visited a couple of plants, and they told me that close to 95-97% was actually from Harsha's cages. So that's very good. But just to kind of double click on this, so the top customer will be like 15-20% of revenue for you, and will that be Timken?
So that's range bound, depend on their growth and their seasonality. So more or less, you can say my top 4 customers keep changing their rank.
Okay, got it. And just a last question, sir. I think MD sir mentioned that you're working on something which you call the next step of technology in the bushings. So bushings, we thought for wind gearboxes were the next step of technology from bearings. So then what is next to bushings?
More precise and more accurate for the next generation of gearbox. So as we have explained, the bushings are getting replaced or maybe used for the different size of the gearboxes. So they keep on improvising, including the methods and accuracy both.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Vishal ji. Namaskar, for this opportunity. Thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I was late to join the call. So if you could just reiterate for the sake of the repetition also, what is our path for profitability for the Romania unit first of all? And second point was, we did EBITDA margin closer to 16% for the first quarter. So with the capacity augmentation and the improvement in volume that we envisage, what should the likelihood in the band EBITDA we should be for the year as a whole, if any number you can share?
Saketji, we have already given the, in our investor presentation, the net loss of China and Romania put together as 3 crore, and that's what we have disclosed. We have not disclosed individual numbers for Romania and China so far. And on the EBITDA margin, as we have explained in commentary also, current margin has some impact on the material pass-through. If we expect that metal price will be settled down or remain stable, then we expect even this EBITDA margin to be improved and to match the last year EBITDA margin percentage, which was 18.7.
The last point is
okay.
EBITDA is about 18 that is expected against 16 that we have reported.
Yeah, provided the metal price will be stabilized.
Okay. And sir, for the Romanian unit and the Chinese part turning profitable or break-even, the path which we are going to glide, how long will it take? And I think so, a lot of code correction was in the process, for especially for the Romanian unit, when, which you elaborated, I think so, 1 year ago also. So where are we, sir, firstly, in the restructuring of the Romanian part? I mean, the product part also, there was some very very strong set of changes you were envisaging earlier. So correct me there. So where are we there, and the path, especially how does this unit start setting and add to the top line and bottom line, especially the bottom line?
Saketji, Romania will gradually, our target is to diminish their losses. So as Vishal explained in his speech, we have already now revamped the top team, we have put a new CEO. There is a strategy to increase the sale of cages from around 20-25% to maybe 30-35%. Still the problem is fixed overheads are high, and unless the key customer who is buying semi-finished castings reaches the previous level, break-even becomes difficult. That is my challenge in Romania. China is continuously profitable. China, may, for last few quarters, we have seen a steady growth. So profitability will range from 12-14% EBITDA, even little more. So what we have guided is that the combined loss at the end of the year, assuming that Romania will gradually taper, it could be maybe in the range of maybe 2-3 crores, let us see. But as we progress, as we see the new team becoming more effective, maybe we can guide you for a better number. But at this point in time, let us take it as this year, minor loss, hopefully next year, some profit.
Okay. And a point on the CapEx that we are doing, brownfield one, and especially for Advantech. How is the order pipeline looking, and how are we going to ramp up the facility going ahead? So some more color if you could share, sir.
So Saketji, in our ongoing businesses, we are building up the capacity and we are confident to win the new customers' orders. And on the bookings and everything, we just responded in the last question, yes, in the last speaker, that we are working on the next level of advanced bookings also. And that's where we are building up the capacity. And last but not least, on the stamping front, we are exploring the new products which meet our precision requirement.
Right, sir. Sir, when we read our invite for the call, we also have Mr. Sanjay Majumdar as a strategic advisor. So if we could be explained exactly, what is the role as a strategic advisor in the business aspect, or what has been entrusted to him, and just a basic understanding if that could be the case?
So Sanjay Bhai is a practicing chartered accountant, and he has supported and continue to support Harsha in all major strategic decisions, including he was part of our all the greenfield expansion as well as brownfield acquisition, and he participates and supports the management and other team members on the various strategic decisions.
Okay, so he would also be the one who would be guiding you people for shareholder value creation also. That has been lacking also for a very long time. So we hope this should be the time, I think, so the inflection point for the company going ahead. I hope Mr. Sanjay would also throw some light on what steps he would be taking or advising the senior management, yes, sir, for value creation for us also. So that was a small point, sir. Just thought of sharing it.
I've been involved with Harsha for the last 30 years and will continue to do so. Don't worry. I'm always there.
Okay. Okay, sir. All the best to the team, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to know, I mean, you know, in terms of the West Asia crisis and everything. So if I just look at your India standalone margin for only engineering, that was 24.4% in FY26. Now, you did mention a band of 22 to 24%, which is probably lower from the last year. So is it probably you're assuming that the RM prices, etc., it's volatile? Is that the reason probably you have lowered the margin? Just for some clarification on that.
And also we continue to spend on our ramp-up cost at
Thailand. Sorry to interrupt you. There's a slight echo. Jason, can you mute your line from your side, please?
Thanks, Jason.
Thank
for
you.
Your
thank you. And sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you. We expect the margin going down to remain similar, but there is a price increase, metal price increase, which will reduce the percentage. So we expect that absolute value increase will continue, but definitely percentage will reduce because the material pass-through will enhance the sales price recovery, as we have discussed in one of the previous questions from one of the participants. And that's why we have given that little lower guidelines. And at the same time, additionally, we will also continue to spend on our Baila site expansion and the ramp-up cost. So these two factors will impact that.
Sure. Thanks, sir. So 22 to 24% stays the guidance for the India engineering business. Sure. So my next question, sir, just pertains to one more thing I just wanted to ask you in terms of West Asia prices also. Do you see, I mean, of course, it is still not over, but, you know, it's kind of like, a very hanging kind of situation. So do you see RM prices getting normalized going ahead? What is the outlook on that?
No idea. As of now, no idea. We expect it to be settled down soon.
And sir, again, for revenue growth, just wanted your expectations for the roaming and Chinese subsidiary. What kind of revenue growth are you expecting for FY27?
I think Vishal has already said, sir, for the subsidiaries we expect in double digits and low teen, double digit around low teen.
No. So I'll clarify here. Romania and China together will be less than 10%. Harsha India will be more than 15%. So on an average, between 12 to 15%.
Okay. Sure. And sir, just finally wanted to ask you, what is the, I mean, of course, Baila capex is being done and then the China capex also will come on stream in Q3 FY28. So sir, just what is the visibility for the demand from both these entities? You spoke in the last call that, you know, you need to have a local entity in China for manufacturing. Well, that is very helpful. So just just wanted to know what is the visibility of demand for the Baila capex and the China capex separately, if you could mention, throw some color on it.
Yeah, we feel fairly confident on all our investment done in Baila.
and we are seeing traction on all the product lines we are working on in Hyla. Specifically, if we talk about large size cages or stamping components as well as bushing. So we see a good visibility and demand coming up for our customer for those products. And that's why we are continuing to invest since we announced last quarter, second phase of expansion in Hyla. China, again, there is good expectation and traction by being local. China being a very good market or very large market for bearings, and we see an opportunity for our quality of cages to get traction, and so we have a good outlook on both those fronts. China, Hyla, we started much earlier, so that we are expecting that to ramp up in next couple of years, whereas China will take at least till towards second, third quarter FY28 to start production and ramp up in 29 onwards.
Sure. And just for final clarification, sir, for Hyla, you said that the target revenue target is 140 crores for 27. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Resham Jain from VBD Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. First of all, congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have two specific questions. So one is on Hyla ramp-up. Given that you have also launched your phase two capex before ramping up phase one, so I presume that it is backed by some demand potential. So from a ramp-up perspective, how do you see ramp-up for phase one and phase two?
So yeah, I think as you rightly mentioned that now we started phase two because some of the products in phase two are a little different even though they are stamping, but phase two is also in terms of we are seeing what we invested will get filled up in next 1 year or less than 1 year, and then we need to anyway expand further. So that's what it is catering to. I don't have a specific number vis-a-vis phase one and phase two, but in past we have shared that Hyla we are expecting that it should give revenue by third year roughly about 300 to 400 crores. So that's what we are targeting coming out of Hyla combined phase and phase.
Okay, understood. And the other related question is, given that most of the incremental growth is either coming from India and specifically Hyla, where you have higher value-added products, and China, which is more brownfield, and Romania, where your loss to profit is going to happen. So is it fair to assume that your EBITDA growth will be much higher and higher than revenue? And also your PAT will be much higher than EBITDA because the Advantech is a lower tax entity. So is this a fair assumption? PAT growth higher than EBITDA, EBITDA growth higher than revenue for next 2-3 years?
I think you are right. At least for this year, it will be very, very remarkable because quarter over quarter, Advantech losses will dramatically reduce. Hopefully, if Romania also starts turning around, it can definitely be higher. But let's confine ourselves to this year.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Rangwala for closing comments.
Great. So after a long call, thank you very much everyone for attending this call, and I hope you have a very good evening.
And they are always available for any clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Harsha Engineers International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.